All right, y'all, welcome to the show. It's Anti-War Radio. I'm Scott Horton. And Seymour Hersh is the author of the book Chain of Command, for one, about the torture regime in the Bush years. And he's written a great many articles about Iran and their nuclear program and American war plans for the New Yorker magazine, including The Next Act and Preparing the Battlefield. And this year, Iran and the Bomb. And he's got a follow-up here at the New Yorker from the 18th, Iran and the IAEA. Welcome back to the show, Cy. How are you doing?
Okay.
All right. Well, thanks very much for joining us today. To get right to the meat of this thing, as far as especially your particular reporting that we can't find out other places, you have sources who have told you the results of CIA and JSOC, I think boots on the ground investigations of Iran's nuclear program inside of Iran, right?
Yeah, well, I've been writing for the New Yorker about stories about the Joint Special Operations Command operations inside. I think they started sometime in late 04, probably as good a guess as any, certainly by 05. And what happened simply is that Vice President Dick Cheney in particular, those are the Bush-Cheney years, was convinced that that Iran was cheating. But even though it was a member of the Non-Proliferation Treaty community and its all of its declared facilities, nuclear enrichment facilities, were declared to the International Atomic Energy Agency, which is the sort of the UN watchdog group for this, for monitoring nuclear development. Anyway, Cheney was convinced they were secretly building the bomb somewhere. They were doing more than just enriching. They were actually manufacturing weapons. And so he had the Joint Special Operations Command send teams in, and most of the work was done. We worked with locals. We worked with Azeris, dissidents, rather, people who were against the mullahs, the regime that was dominating the religious regime in Tehran. Azeris, Kurds, they worked with Iranian Kurds. They worked with the Jandela, which was a pretty hardline Sunni fundamentalist group that was also very much in opposition to the government. And the idea was to inspect any place we thought there might be secret weapons manufacturing going on and other facilities, and also to get tough with certain people if they had to. I don't know all exactly what was done, but I do know that we targeted certain people. Whether this was why certain people got assassinated or not, as you know, many three or four scientists have nuclear scientists have been assassinated, and it's not clear. Israel, more or less by default, seems to suggest they did it, but you know, who knows? And I don't certainly know. I just know they were targeted. Whether we actually accomplished something or not, but there you are. That happened, and that was going on until the end of the Bush-Cheney years. What I've done now is not really an article for the magazine. Scott, I just did a blog item
right
in response to the report a few weeks ago by the International Atomic Energy Agency.
Well, I'm sorry. Let me hold you right there for a second, because the part I wanted to get to about JSOC on the ground there wasn't just possible involvement in the assassinations, but what you reported in Iran and the bomb, I think in April, was that they had put sensors everywhere, fake street signs and sensors in the roads, and they had done this long-term investigation, and they still were standing by their conclusion that they really couldn't find any evidence of a secret parallel nuclear program, a nuclear weapons program inside Iran. Is that correct?
Yes, that is not only correct, but also in 07, the American intelligence community, 16 agencies, got together and produced what they call a National Intelligence Estimate, NIE, a highly classified paper, the elements of which are always sort of spread out, leaked a little bit. And they did a study that said that, as far as they could tell, Iran dropped all interest in the weaponization, even considering and looking at weaponization seriously in 03 when we attacked Iraq. The point being that the Iranians had a war, and by the way, that estimate, the NIE, was updated in 2011. Mm-hmm. And I did a piece this June, about it in the New Yorker, saying both the 07 and the 2001 estimates also said nada there. But here's the critical point. The estimate, the American estimate, was that Iran may well have looked hard at a possibility of building a bomb after its eight-year war with Iran. As some of your audience may know, Iran and Iraq fought a terrible eight-year war from 1980 to 1988, in which, by the way, against Iraq. And we supported, of course, Iraq, Saddam Hussein's government then. And in the years after that war, there was a lot of talk about Iran getting a bomb, Iraq, rather, getting a bomb, as you know, the WMD issue. So the Iranians looked at it. But once we hit Iraq in the March and April of 2003 and took down Baghdad, the American estimate was that the Iranians said, okay, no sense worrying about Iraq anymore. And there's no way with our small arsenal, the most we could make are one or two bombs in the next 5 years or whatever the estimate was. There was no way that Iran's weapon system, if there was one, if there were to be one, could neutralize or balance the thousand or more weapons we have, and who knows how many hundred of weapons warheads the Israelis have. So the only deterrent reason they even looked at the prospect, according to our NREs, this isn't me, but this is the American intelligence community talking, the only reason Iran even studied the possibility of making a weapon up to 2003 was to balance Iraq as a deterrent against Iraq. And when that didn't happen, poof, they're out of the business. That's still the holding of the community. You wouldn't know it from what you read in the newspapers, but that's still what the American intelligence community says.
Mm-hmm. Well, and there's nothing in this recent IAEA report that the CIA didn't know about, is there?
Well, there's nothing in the report that the IAEA didn't know about for many years. My problem with the report is that it's not a scientific document. This is what I wrote in the New Yorker and in the blog page. It's not a scientific document. It's a political document. What happened, the most important thing that happened at the International Atomic Energy Agency in the last few years was the retirement of Mohammed El-Baradei, who the Egyptian who ran the agency for a dozen years, retired in 2009. He won a Nobel Peace Prize. We didn't always like him, and the Israelis certainly didn't trust him. By the way, he's now going to, might just play a prominent role now in the new government that may form, or at least a new coalition that may be set up because of the troubles in Egypt this week. Anyway, he's still a player there. And Baradei, when he was there, initially was very angry at Iran for its early work, and then worked out a lot of problems. There were always stuff put in papers, always stuff published in the London press and even here in America, allegations about cheating that the IAEA would investigate under El-Baradei, and they would write reports every quarter, four times a year, and they would say, hey, two things are important. One, we looked at this allegation. We can't verify the substance of the claim. A published report, in, let's say, the London Sunday Times about they're doing some kind of trigger work. We don't believe that the evidence, the documents presented are real. They're fabricated. We're going on. And also, what the IAE did then, all during the last 10 years, and even in the new report, the one that includes sort of a catch-all, what the IAEA said is that we've also, our cameras, everything that we know in Iran is under camera inspection and also individual inspection. We've never detected any evidence of a diversion of uranium. In other words, if the Iranians are going to build a bomb, they have to build it with enriched uranium, and none of the uranium that's now being enriched to low levels, by the way, not near the weapons grade level, has been diverted. So they're going to have to get the uranium from someplace else, 90%, 95% enriched uranium. Right now, the Iranians, the most they enrich anything is a small amount of 20% for medical purposes. But most of the stuff they're enriching is around 3.8% to run a power plant. Meanwhile, the critical issue is in 2009, he retires El-Baradei. The new director general is a Japanese politician named Amano. I'm sure he's an honorable guy, but the first thing he did, and we have WikiLeaks documents to support this, is he told the American embassy in Vienna that the one that monitors the IAEA, he told the ambassador there in a cable forwarded by the ambassador to Washington that was made public by WikiLeaks, Julian Assange's group, he told him, look, thank you for helping me get elected. He was six rounds of votes before he got in with our help. And I want you to know I share your strategic values. I share your views on Iran. He's much more of a player in our sphere. He's one of our guys. So you have a change in leadership that's that results in a much tougher tone on Iran, and it results in the case in the last 2 weeks, taking a lot of old allegations recycling them. Being very careful to caveat what he said, the report was called Possible Military Uses, and the language of the report is maybe, perhaps, we believe this information is, quote-unquote, overall credible, all these caveats. But it added up, and this isn't me talking. I talked to a number of people who worked at the IAEA. One couldn't be named, a senior guy still there. One just retired, an American named Kelly, a very competent guy. 30 years he worked in the American nuclear business, warfare business, before going to the IAEA. And these guys are quoted in this blog item as saying, there's nothing new. We don't understand what's going on here. And privately saying, which they don't like to say in public because they don't want to diminish the IAEA, that they have a lot of grave doubts about Amano and his integrity. Not so much his integrity, about his sense that he must do the American bidding, which he probably wants to do. I'm not suggesting he's corrupting his opinion. He's just got a different opinion. He's less objective.
Well, and he's taken all the things that Baradei just refused to include in the report, including the alleged studies documents from the so-called smoking laptop. And I was wondering, when you talk with your sources about that laptop, do they say that, well, for example, they agree with Gareth Porter's reporting that it was manufactured by the Israelis and funneled into the stream by the Mujahideen-e Khalq? Or do they still just shrug and say they don't know where it came from? Do they believe it or not?
Well, I did do some reporting on it, and I think I wrote a piece a few years back for The New Yorker. I did talk to – it was delivered to an allied intelligence agency. A laptop suddenly appeared. They passed it off to us. The allied intelligence agency was very skeptical. It did include about 1,000 pages or something like that, many hundreds of pages of crude drawings, drawings that showed basically fantasy drawings, drawings about putting a warhead on a – making a warhead and then putting it on a certain kind of missile that the Iranians will know to play. We call it a Shabbat 3, a mid-range missiles, trying to figure out what stage rockets you would have. And most of the paperwork that was done was crude, was amateurish, didn't make much sense to the experts in terms of certainly wasn't something done at a sophisticated weapons laboratory. That doesn't mean somebody at the University of Tehran didn't draw something. But basically, the conclusion of the IAEA was that they really weren't much, they weren't very credible. And therefore, when Mr. El-Baradei reported about it, and what you're saying is correct, he would, over the years, he would list a series of, we've had these new allegations that appeared either in the press or they were relayed to us by Western powers, most of which, that means America, which is the main funnel for this kind of information. And he would dismiss it. He would look at it. And what you're getting in the new report was most of these allegations recycled without the notion, unless you happen to read the earlier reports, that El-Baradei in El-Baradei's name, they had been discredited. And so this report leans heavily, obviously, on the laptop, which was very much discredited by most people in the community. I said by most of them at this point. It's just, it was a laptop from where? No providence. And so there you are.
Well, now, here's the confusing part to me, though. You know, it seems like what you're reporting here must be, you know, for example, Hillary Clinton's understanding of the situation. I mean, she may be in disagreement about her, you know, suspicions about where they mean to go from here or something like that. But, I mean, the reality if it's the Americans and the Israelis who are trying to always push the IAEA to come up with this nonsense, they know it's nonsense too. So yeah. I wonder, I know you said in your last article on this subject, Iran and the bomb, you have at least some sources in Israel. We see two, at least maybe three former heads of Mossad saying don't attack Iran and all this. And I just wonder whether it's just blatant at this point that this is merely a pretext, that all sides, you know, in Israel and America understand that there's not really a nuclear weapons program there, that they would have to withdraw from the treaty and kick the inspectors out and announce they're making a bomb, basically, to get started on one. And so what is the point of this? Or are they really afraid of a nuclear electricity program and a light water reactor at Bushehr? I mean, come on.
Look, I can't get into the minds of Israel. There's a great division in Israel, which the former head of the Mossad, and Meyer Dagon, who's as tough as they come. He was the guy that was involved in the attempted assassination in Dubai a year or so ago. I mean, a really tough character. He's been saying since he retired a few months ago, 4 months ago or so, this is crazy. They're not near a bomb. He doesn't dispute the fact they may be wanting a bomb and they may be planning to make one, but he says they're not near a bomb, and bombing, attacking Iran is devastating, would be insane. On the other hand, you have both Ehud Barak and his one-time bitter enemy, Bibi Netanyahu, the two leaders of Israel, in agreement on this. You know, you have a defense minister and a prime minister both agreeing that this is an existential threat. I have no idea what they really think. I have no idea if they're just talking through their hat. My guess is they are. I'm pretty sure that this administration, despite its tough talk about Iran, does not want to see Israel to attack Iran. And it is what's scary to me, what is troubling to me, if Israel does do it unilaterally, which would be insane to me. But, you know, well, what do I know? If they did do it, the Middle East would always think we were involved, no matter what we said.
So I'm sorry, because I really phrased the question too broadly. What I should have asked you was, what do the intel guys that you talk to over there think? They basically agree with the CIA about this, no?
It's complicated for me because I did talk to senior people there, and the ground rules were so prohibitive that I couldn't really write what they said. I wasn't allowed to report. I can tell you in general that there are smart people in Israel, in intelligence, and in the military, who do know that two things. They know that they do believe that the Americans are probably right when they say that Israel stopped building, Israel's ambition about building a bomb dwindled in 03.
Iran's
ambitions dwindled in 03 when we took down Baghdad. That clearly whatever efforts they had were aimed at Iraq and not at deterring us or Israel, because how could you with one or two bombs? And they also agree that they're not near a bomb. They do think they still might make one. But the most important thing is I've had people say to me, in essence, that it's also understood by many in the military and the intelligence community there that Israel, that Iran, with this 2,000 years of Persian society, they understand that if they got a bomb and they threw it at Tel Aviv, the scary scenario we always see, they would be incinerated, that the Israeli response would take out the 300 warheads hitting Iran. So they understand that, and there are people in Israel who understand that there is a deterrent quality. You don't use a bomb. The bomb, and you know what these Iranians have said, Ahmadinejad, crazy as he may seem, and others, Larijani and others, have said, you know, the bomb, among other things, there's a fatwa against it, which we always diminish but dismiss. Ayatollah Khomeini issued a fatwa about 15 years ago, saying it's an ungodly, it's against the Quran to build such a weapon. I'm prepared to believe that there are many people in Iran who take that seriously. I know in America that doesn't sell, but that's just what they say. They do take it seriously. And also the other issue is they're also totally aware that the bomb doesn't buy them any security. I mean, does our huge arsenal, does that help us in Iraq? Did it help us in Vietnam? Did it help us in Afghanistan? I mean, come on. There's asymmetrical warfare, they call it. That's what the whole business is about. But anyway, so I'm putting a finger in the dike, because the mainstream press has pretty much gone along with the sort of exorbitant language in the IAEA report and all the doomsday talk. They've gone along pretty totally. And so it's a little depressing to me. There is another side to everything. And maybe common sense will prevail, or maybe somebody with some diplomat or some official with the gravamen and standing will stand up and say, as nobody did in before the Iraqi war, and nobody may do now, somebody in the inside will say, this is crazy. But so far it's not happened.
Mm-hmm. Well, there was that one guy that you said you talked to, Kelly, who also spoke to the Christian Science Monitor and the Real News he seems willing. Maybe
Bob
he
Kelly.
Could get on TV.
Well, I'll tell you something about Bob Kelly. It's interesting to me. He's a former inspector. He's retired. I knew him as a tough guy inside. He was very skeptical of Iran, and he still is skeptical of some things. But this new report is a non-starter, and people on the inside know it. I quote more than him. I quote people, others in the American non-proliferation move. Most of the people who know anything about proliferation basically see the problems with the report. that it simply was way overblown. In any case, I'm off to lunch and coughing away with my cold.
Okay.
It was good to talk to you, Scott.
Yes, thank you very much for your
time.
I really appreciate
Bye-bye.
It. Anyway, that's Seymour Hersh. The latest is a blog entry at thenewyorker.com, Iran and the IAEA. Previously, he wrote Iran and the bomb. That was in June, not April, like I said when I was wrong. And you can find the whole thing. Just add the letters PDF to your search, and you'll find it over at Richard Silverstein's blog, Iran and the Bomb. And I interviewed him full scale about that article, which was breaking news at the time. Back then, too, you can find that at antiwar.com/radio.